Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern, save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here we go. Hour number two here with you, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid, going through all four division playoff games in the NFL this weekend. We got some hockey on as the Sharks take a 3-1 lead over the Red Wings now. That's not good for us. The Senators have taken a 1-0 lead on the Islanders. Tiger just hit one in the bunker here at the TGL, so that's not going well for him either. So we have several things going on to get us through the rest of the way. Mike Carver here with you, along with the, geez, I almost did the Joe open there, the encyclopedia. No Joe tonight. Sans Joe, he's out. Gentleman George Kurtz, is in with us. George, good to see you as always. And yes, the hockey not going well. I was really hoping the Red Wings would have a little, I mean, listen, it's tough. You win 7 games in a row, but the Sharks suck, George. This is going to be disappointing. We lose this Red Wing leg here with the Sharks tonight.
Yeah, I went in on them halfway through the first period when they went down 1-0 at a better price. I'm a streak player anyway, so you said they won 7 in a row. I like that. Mainly because, Mike, I can only do wrong once. Right? They lose, streak's over. Okay, so I won't worry about that next time here. But as you said, Detroit's been playing very well. I don't want to say the Sharks suck, by the way. Or how about they suck less than in the past? All right, with Celebrity, they're not an awful team anymore. I mean, that's Carr off the goaltender. I think there's a pretty bright future for San Jose.
They give up a goal to go down 3-1, and then they get one right back to 3-2. So we're right back to where they were. But now we need need the push here, George. Keep the push going here at 3-2.
You know, I'm seeing the goal here now. What a nice bounce off the boards to Tarasenko there for the goal. That is a little home. That is a little home ice cooking there, man. That took a weird bounce on the shoot in. So hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. Maybe that wakes him up here.
George, I'm gonna have to get this on. I can't watch Tiger hit any more balls out of the sand and miss 6-foot putts. So I'm gonna have to get the Red Wing game on here.
Dallas game. This one Dallas team can win. Stars, another goal, 4-1 over Toronto.
Wow, Star. Hey, there are. Now, it's hard to buy in, George, because they've burned me a lot the last few years. I've had Star futures very early in the year the last few years, and they just never get it done, never get over the hump. So this will probably be the year, George, because I didn't play them this year yet. So this will be the year that the Stars actually win.
I didn't play them either. They're a good team. They really are a good team. They have some injury worries now, but a good, solid team. The problem is the West is loaded. I mean, Edmonton, good team. Colorado, good team. Winnipeg, good team. You know, a lot of good teams. It's hard to listen. We can say the same thing about the Eastern Conference. Carolina, Devils, you know, Toronto's actually looks like a good team. Not tonight. So it's hard to get through Stanley Cup playoffs. It truly is here. That's why, you know, generally I don't bet too much. Like for NFL, I'll bet all the win totals you want me to bet or who's going to do what. I feel much better about the NFL. Baseball, same thing. Hockey, I tend to do that once the playoffs start. And I feel a little bit better about getting a feel on who's good and who's not good. Hockey is just a never – I love hockey. You know that.
It goes on forever, though.
It never goes on forever. It starts before the regular season baseball is over, just as the playoffs starting, and it'll end probably around the All-Star game. Think about it. It's just nuts how long hockey is.
So Detroit gets this game back to 3-2, and then they take an awful penalty. So now penalty, San Jose is going to have a power play here with 13 minutes to go in the period. All right, George, so we'll keep our eye on all this hockey. We're going to be watching it. There's some hoops on, too, and we'll have some things that we'll be diving into. But we do have, and we'll focus a lot of time this hour, on NFL divisional playoff weekend. 4 games, the eight best teams, and this is what it's all about. This is usually, as we mentioned last hour, the best weekend football-wise of the year when it comes to the games. You are down to the best. Everyone's playing. You've kind of, you know, you sometimes get the an upset last round, but usually the best teams find themselves through. And we have that. You have Mahomes, you have Allen, you have Lamar. You've got the Lions, you got Goff, you've got Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. You know, Jaden Daniels getting himself in the party here. Stroud and the Texans, for say what you want about them. But at the end of the day, they were probably the fourth best team in the AFC this year, and they've got themselves here. So I don't think, George, there's necessarily anybody here, and the Sharks get a power play goal. So that was just completely gutless by Detroit. Just an awful job by them. And not only did they get it, George, they let this guy walk in on the power play.
Granlund
came in and just walked in and just put it by him. So 4-2 Sharks. As what we really should, this game has turned into an over now, George. This game, now pucks are flying in left and right up there at the Caesars for these two. As I was saying, I think we do have, George, the eight best teams. And I know people say, Minnesota won 14 games, blah, 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 blah. I think we have the eight best teams this year playing this weekend. We have the right eight. Let's hope the games match it.
I might want to put Bengals in there over the Texans. I don't know if I'm going to vote, but Texans played great. They played absolutely great. After that first quarter against the Chargers, they played great. They were, I mean, that defense was swarming. They were killing Herbert there. So I'm looking forward to this week. I truly am. Although, listen, I mean, the long-running joke, even when you put the Super Bowl champions, Houston, you're still getting the early Saturday game. I mean, I just find it, and I'm not knocking it, by the way, because I would rather see Washington and Detroit in prime time. Points should be scored here. Of course, Buffalo and Baltimore is going to be the highlight game of the weekend. So they would get Sunday night here. And Rams, Philly, you know, I guess Sunday afternoon is the same as Saturday afternoon. But I just found it hilarious. Because first of all, what if Houston's still going to get that early Saturday game, even against Mahomes and the Super Bowl champion? Sure enough, yep, you got it.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise to me. I mean, Houston played in it too last year in the second round in Baltimore. That was the Saturday 4:30 game. So Houston is always going to be in this slot, George. It is what it is. Now, these two played a few weeks back. If you remember, they played that Saturday game before Christmas in Kansas City. That was the game that everyone thought that Mahomes wasn't going to play because he got hurt the week before. And as always, he ends up playing. Remember, he always plays. As much as they like to tell you, he doesn't play. But 27-19, the Chiefs beat them that day. So they won that game by 8, George. And sure enough, what's the number as we sit here on a Tuesday? 8.5.
8.5.
For the Chiefs and the Texans. Things don't change. And this was, the Chiefs needed... Now, this was a 24-19 game, and the Chiefs got a field goal late in the fourth to extend it to 8. I'll tell you this. If the Texans get the kind of effort from Will Anderson and their front line that they got against the Chargers, they may hang around in this game a lot longer than people think they're going to, George. If they get that kind of pressure and Anderson makes that kind of an impact like he made against Herbert, they will hang around this game. I don't trust the Texan offense to do much, but if they could play D like that, they might hang around.
I don't think this is a foregone conclusion. Kansas City wins the game. I don't.
Ooh.
I think I said it early in the show, by the way. I think whoever wins Sunday night, Buffalo, Baltimore, I think they go to Super Bowl. I think the championship game is going to be Sunday night. I think either one, Buffalo or Baltimore, would beat Kansas City or Houston. So that's, I know I'm teasing you there, but
I've made a rule. I've told Pharrell, I've told Gabe yesterday, and now I'm going to tell you, George, I'm not talking about next week until I get through this week. As much as I want to say I agree with you, I think that I am not talking about anything beyond for Buffalo beyond Sunday. They have a lot of problems on Sunday at 6:30 at their place coming into town.
And you should. I can't. You should, because that's a rough game.
I can't worry about beyond that. I might agree with you, but I'm not going to do that. Carver Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George in for Joe. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Harvard and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. George, this Red Wing Shark game has completely gotten out of control. You talked about the Tarasenko goal. That made it 3-2. Granlund had that power play goal where he walked in to make it 4-2. The Red Wings scored a couple of minutes after that to make it 4-3. And then, I think less than a minute later, San Jose scores again to Foley to make it 5-3 again. So the Red Wings have gotten it to 1 three times in this period. Twice, I should say. And each time they give up another goal. There's still 8.5 minutes to go here, but, I mean, they've completely blown their chance. Every time they get themselves close, they just give up another easy goal. Awful job by the Red Wings. I'm upset now, George, that we backed them with a gutless effort like this.
By the way, speaking of a mediocre team blowing it to a West Coast team, Penguins have given up back-to-back goals now. Seattle leads Pittsburgh 3-2 as well. So
3-2 cracking.
And the Flyers just took the lead over the Jackets.
Scored. That's not ideal either, George. That's not ideal either.
Right, it was 3-0. Not Marchesio. Thanks, jerk. And Utah 1-0 over Montreal.
Quickly, Auburn won by 22 against Mississippi State. Illinois won by 25 over Indiana. They're down to the wire here in a couple of these other ones. Ole Miss up 8 on Alabama, so they're going to get a big win on the road. You've got Kentucky up 8 on Texas A&M at home. Missouri, Florida just started. Ohio State, Wisconsin just started. And Miami and Duke are underway as well. Remember, that's a very big number, 23.5, 24.5, depending on where and when you got it, for the Hurricanes tonight at Cameron Indoor. There is NBA tonight, too. I didn't mention any of that. The Cavs are up 113-106 on the Pacers. The Bucks are up 21 on the Kings at the half, so they're smashing them. And the Thunder won by 16 over the Sixers earlier as well. Nets and Blazers in Portland at the top of the hour, if you're so interested in such things. So Chiefs-Texans, we said 8.5, and the total right now, George, is ticking in at 41.5, which they, of course, got through fairly easily in the first game, 27-19. Yeah, fairly easily, but still, they got through it in the 8.5. I asked you earlier in the show if you thought there'd be any rust. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to doubt the Chiefs with anything. Like, if this was some team that never made the playoff, never been a one seed before, never won a Super Bowl before, and you told me they hadn't played a legitimate game since Christmas Day, and they're going to be playing on January, whatever the hell Saturday is, George, 16th, 17th, I'd say maybe it'd be a problem. But, George, not for this team. I don't think it's going to be a problem for this team when they step on the field on Saturday.
It's still 3.5 weeks. I mean,
It's a long time.
I mean, it's 3.5 weeks. All right, it's a long. I mean, I guess we could, if you want to play out Mr. Optimism here, Professor Positive, gives you more time to work at Marquise Brown, who had just come back, more time to work at DeAndre Hopkins, who they acquired the deadline. So you could certainly make that argument. Pacheco, same thing. So you could certainly make that argument. Good for Kelsey. But that being said, you know, I have a, this wasn't a juggernaut offense anyway. So I think it could hurt a little bit. You know, I think it's a very good a good thing. We can't say that they're not playing, you know, a Buffalo team or a team that can score points early because they'd be hot. Houston probably not going to go 14-0. So I think that's a good break for them.
This probably would have been a good week for Buffalo or Baltimore to play them this week, coming off them not playing for so long. But it's the Texans that end up getting it. And I worry about them offensively. You see what? The thing for me is, George, I feel like the Chiefs could start slow and they could take them a little while to get in this game. But like you just said, the Texans won't take advantage of that because they're just not that great offensively. And even if the game's 10-10 at the half or in the middle of the third quarter, the Chiefs by then will have their footing and probably take over from there. I'd like to see some overs this weekend, George, but I don't know if I'm going to get one in this game at 41.5. I'm not sure.
You know, we looked in Buffalo early. I told you, it looks like from Buffalo, no precipitation, but we could get some very cold and a little bit of wind here. Let's look in Kansas.
What about Kansas City?
No, actually, boy, beautiful. 40 degrees, partly cloudy. So
fast track.
If you look at, right, we should get points. Right, all this, we can't blame the weather for this. Yeah, I shouldn't say we should
can't
get
blame
points.
The
We're
weather.
Not talking about two offensive dynamos. No, can't blame the weather here. I mean, compared to what we saw the last time Kansas City played at home in a playoff game, right? The people were losing digits. It was so damn cold there. So
The game against Flipper last year, the Dolphins, that game that was minus 30 in the wild card.
I gotta tell you, Mike, I took a bath all weekend betting these overs. And I even told myself going into last night, I'm not betting the over. And I still did it. Still bet the over.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I stayed away because of what happened Saturday and Sunday. I originally did think we could get some points like they did the first time, the Rams and Vikings, but I was scared off by how the lack of scoring on Saturday and Sunday and the lack of there was a couple things. I had a Hockenson touchdown. There was a couple things that was all right for me last night and ended up making it being an okay night, but I wasn't going after that over after what we saw. Even the best game wasn't over. The Washington-Tampa game didn't get to the number either. And the only game that's gone over was the Charger game was by the skin of the teeth. It was like by like a half that game went over, the Charger-Texans.
And would you like to know the only game I bet the under on this weekend?
Charger-Texan game, probably, I would guess.
There you go.
Be the only game you bet the
one
under
of those post. Weekends.
I liked it too. I liked it too, George. We'll talk about the Lions and Washington when we come back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you on the grid. Carver sans Lisi, Joe out. George Kurtz is in for him. 2-2 Columbus at least tied it up, George. At least somebody's got a little bit of heart. Columbus went and tied it against the Flyers as they're getting down to the end. Still 5-3 Sharks. That game's over. The Penguins yacked up that lead, and there's only about 4 minutes left now in the third. Still no score. Panthers and Devils as they're going to start the third period. So not much going on in that one. And 4-1, Predators lead the Knights. 4-0, Jets lead the Canucks. And the Avalanche are on the board first against the Rangers. And already 1-1, Montreal and Utah. So a couple goals out of the gate in that one. So pucks are starting to fly a little bit in the NHL this evening. Second game, Saturday night, 8 o'clock East kick in Detroit, where Washington and the Lions will get together. Of course, the Lions, the one seed, 15-2, coming off a bye. Washington, without a question, I would say, I don't even have to say, everybody would say it, the surprise entrant of divisional round weekend. I think if you took these eight teams, George, and you said, you know, who's going to be there, who's going to be one of the last eight, I don't think many back in September would have said that Washington would be playing this weekend. I think you could have, obviously, any of these other teams that are playing this weekend, you could have made some cases for, thought there was a chance, but not this team with a rookie quarterback, Quinn in his first year in Washington. But, you know, they've kind of had, George, you could say, like a magic carpet, kind of crazy ride this year, right? Some of these games that they've won, the Bear game with the Hail Mary, the Eagle game, even last week the doink and the Bucks making all those mistakes. There has been a little magic carpet to Washington so far this year.
It has, no doubt. And listen, if you're a Commanders fan, you know, I'm a big Matthew Berry fan. All right, this goes back to my days at Fantasy. I like Berry, met him a couple times, good guy. And he's a big Commanders guy, huge Commanders guy. And you know, he says on his show all the time that they're playing with house money. And that bothers me some ways because, listen, you're in a division round of the playoffs. I want to win. You know, I don't care if I'm playing with house money or not. But I get his point, Mike, because, my God, you found your quarterback of the future. You found your franchise quarterback. And this roster is actually not very good. You know, you're winning because, you said, these miracle wins. You know, you're winning because McLaurin's very good, of course. And, you know, outside of that, what else do you have? But you got rid of Snyder. You know, you hired all some good people. It looks like the good GM, you know, Dan Quinn is doing very well there. As a Cowboy fan, I'm not happy. All right, because like I said, Washington's now a threat. They haven't been a threat for a decade, maybe two decades, and now they're a threat. All right, Philadelphia, I know, is a threat. So I'm a Giants now that suck.
It's funny you bring that up. That's another guy. Like, if Jerry really didn't like Mike, he could have got rid of Mike last year and hired Dan Quinn, who was in Dallas as the defensive coordinator. And he could have been the next coach there for the Cowboys. But Jerry does what Jerry does, as we mentioned already earlier.
I think there were three people coaching on the wild card weekend that were ex-Cowboy coaches. Sean Payton was one, and it wasn't Dan Quinn. It was all from the Bill Parcells tree back in the 05 season. I have to go through the list, see who else was there. But three of those players were ex-Cowboy coaches that, you know, Jerry didn't recognize as being potential head coaches or whatever. It's just sad.
Yeah, I mean, there's the list is fairly long for most of those guys. That's for
Dan
sure.
Dan Campbell's one. He wasn't even on that
Dan
list.
Campbell
was with Dallas.
Dan Campbell was with Dallas as well.
Shoot me.
I'm trying to think of who the other one was off the top of my head, but
Dan Campbell wasn't on the list. These guys all from the old far. Oh, no, it might have been Campbell. That's right. Campbell was on that staff. So it's Peyton, Campbell. Who was the other guy? Certainly wasn't Harbaugh.
You'd have to think. It wasn't Todd Bowles. Very hard. Wasn't him. Obviously wasn't Tomlin or Harbaugh, obviously. Wasn't
no.
Him. So.
And it wasn't McDermott. Wasn't McVay.
No.
Who's left?
And, I guess Dan Quinn then be the... Dan Quinn was in Dallas, but not on part of that tree. So you have him there as well.
That tree? No, it wasn't LaFleur. I got to go back and find this tweet now.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back. Red Wings are down 6-3 now. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. Mike Carver with you, sans Joe. Joe will be back tomorrow. Gentleman George Kurtz is here with us. All right, George. So we were talking about this Washington-Detroit game. Lions -9.5. And an ungodly for an NFL playoff game, specifically division weekend, 55.5 on Saturday night. Now, we said 5 out of 6 games unders this past weekend. The games haven't been great. I get we're getting Detroit in the mix, who we know they like to score points, especially at home. But 55.5, George, that's a very big pill to swallow.
All right. I don't think what just happened has anything to do with this weekend. So because everything went under here, I'm not going to assume we're going to have unders this weekend. But that being said, 55 is nuts. All right, Dub. But you said it. I mean, is anyone surprised that Detroit scores 38? I'm not. Not at all. Mm. And I think that could be on the low side. Which if they get to the 40s, I'm not surprised here. Dan Campbell's not stopping. He's not taking the second half off. I truly believe that. He'll keep scoring points from now until next Tuesday. He doesn't care. So that's my worry there. And this game could get out of hand and be a blowout. Montgomery is supposed to be back for Detroit, so it's not like he's going to pull Gibbs and you won't have anybody. He'll just have Montgomery. So I don't want to bet the over. And if I do pregame, it won't be a large amount here. But this is going to be a heavy prop game for me because I think we are going to get points. But again, I've said this almost every game, right? I thought Sunday night we were getting points. I thought last night we were getting points. But I probably feel better about this one. I mean, because Washington's not going to win a 17-13 game here. And then the win is going to have to be 38-35, something silly like that, where they just outscored him and Goff made mistakes. Or Campbell kept, you know, we went for on every fourth down and Washington stopped him. Something silly like that, and Daniels played out of his freaking mind here. So I can't go under. I'm lucky I have a small play on the over here, but I'll be going prop crazy in this. As for the game, I mean, Detroit wins the game. All right, they do win the game here. I kind of like Washington plus the 9.5, and I think if I wait, I might get double digits on this. Yeah, so I haven't taken it yet. I'm wondering if we'll get the double digits by the time Friday, Saturday comes along.
Yeah, I know it's a big number, but I think I'm laying it with Detroit, George, to be quite honest with you. I really do believe that they're going to come out and look, Washington's been a great story. We've talked about how they've had magic carpet ride, lots of lucky things have happened. Great win last week. Usually a team like them in a spot like this, the ride ends harshly. just over the last few years, I'll give you some example, you know, that the Giants, and trust me, Jaden Daniels is light years better than Daniel Jones. So I don't think this happened. But these teams that somehow make it to this point and are the surprise team that does, they flame out in the division round when they face the best of the best. And you saw that Giants-Eagles that year. The Giants got smashed after they beat the Vikings in the Eagle game. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but I think that the Lions win this game by 10 plus. So I'm in on the Lions, George. It's one of the few that I really like this week. But you know what bothers me is, like you said, like playing props. They have made the touchdown numbers for this game absolutely stupid. As in you can't play them. And I looked across a couple of different books. You know, Gibbs, minus 230. I see a minus 330 at one shop. Minus 330 for the guy to score a touchdown. But even Vandal, who usually has some of the better numbers, at least in the New York books, for touchdowns, they have minus 230. And Montgomery minus 160. Brown minus 135. I mean, Jameson Williams, who usually, George, and you know this, is in, you know, for most of the year was in the 200 range, sometimes 175, 180. I mean, he's at 130. Laporta 140. Like, these guys aren't all, I mean, I know they score a lot, maybe, George, but these guys aren't all scored. These are just ridiculous numbers for any time touchdowns. I get it, the total is 55.5, but for me, who likes playing touchdowns, George, these numbers are unplayable. For what I would normally pay for these guys, I can't do it this week. And hopefully I'll find a book where I can, where the numbers get a little bit better by Saturday, because I can't play them right now.
No, you'd have to parlay it in some sense. All right, or go first touchdown. Really, that might be the way to go. Go first touchdown here.
Yeah.
All right. If you think Gibbs is going to score a touchdown, it's plus 450. Right. He's probably the one I would like best. Jameson Williams would be a longer play here. Terry McLaurin at 13-1. That makes some sense there. If Washington could score first, it certainly could be McLaurin. And certainly isn't going to be Brian Robinson because he sucks. So
he's done nothing.
I think that's the way I would go here. Either parlaying it or go first touchdown.
You know, the Washington numbers aren't bad. For any time. The Washington numbers are not terrible, especially in a game where, like, you know, if you think they can score in the 20s and get at least three touchdowns in this game. I mean, McLaurin 135, Daniels 150, Robinson 165, Ertz 280, Dwami Brown, who scored last week's 380.
Well, there should be at least six touchdowns, right? That's 21-21. You know, and the books obviously think there's going to be 7 to 8 touchdowns.
Right.
So, I mean, right. We don't need to hit every one.
No.
I mean, if you took
seven
touchdowns, if you take three.
No.
If you take three first touchdowns, let's just say for giggles, you take Gibbs, I don't know, McLaurin and St. Brown. You only need to hit one to make money.
Yeah.
That's all you need to hit, one of the first touchdowns to hit. So I can certainly see playing it that way. And actually, you could actually do four of these guys and still make money if you only hit one. So that's one way of covering the board. And you take four. You take the top four here. You know, Gibbs, St. Brown, McLaurin. You want to throw Montgomery in here? Fine. And they don't score the first touchdown. Well, you know, you were a little unlucky. You know, because I think one of those guys will score the first touchdown. So you could do it that way. You could parlay two of them. You know, for anytime touchdowns, and that'll give you a much better price here. Yeah. So I think there are ways to attack this, but I'll probably like the. You know, reception props, or receiving props, rushing props, a little bit more than touchdown props.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll tell you now, because I play this, I've played this a lot with Washington. Now that Eckler's healthy, Eckler receiving yards, I've had some fun with this year with Washington. Eckler catches a lot of balls out of the backfield from Jaden Daniels. So that's one. Watch those numbers, George, when they come up. I might be able to get in the mix there. But I think we're both in agreement. Detroit wins. And they're going to take care of business. But it's been fun, and hopefully they can at least – this could maybe our first chance to have ourselves a little bit of a wild game. Sunday, first game is the Rams and the Eagles. Rams coming off that win on Monday night. Eagles very ho-hum against the Packers, who didn't give much resistance. 6.5 and 44.5. You know – I think the Eagles are going to win, George, but Rams are tough, and McVay and Stafford have been a very good combination in the playoffs since he's been there. I know people say, oh, you got the West Coast team playing on in the cold and potentially snow on Sunday. Yeah, I don't think that's going to matter. I think the Rams are... I think the Rams could play in this spot. I think they could keep the game close in this spot. I kind of lean in Rams early in the week, George. I want to know who George likes when we come back. Carver and Leedsy Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. Come back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver, Sands, Lisi, Joe out. George Kurtz is in for Joe here as we're going through the games for this weekend. Eagles-Rams, Sunday early game in Philly. And I was telling you before the break, George, that early in the week here, I'm leaning Rams with the number. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be low score. I think it's going to be, as Joe would say, a blue-collar game. I really do. I think you saw – I was impressed with what you got out of the Eagle offense on Sunday against the Packers. I think the Packers obviously shot themselves in the foot with how they started the football game, giving them 7 points right out of the gate. I think that the Rams have the better coach and the better quarterback, just like they did on Monday night. And I think that plays getting points in a game like this. Maybe not to win, but to get points, I like having that combination. And how could you not be impressed with how their defense is playing right now? With how they played against the Vikings on Monday night, too, getting the pressure. So I think that it's obviously a tough place for them to go, but I don't think the Rams are going to be scared or going to get whacked in this game in Philadelphia on Sunday.
Sunday could be an ugly game. When I talk about the weather here, we're 5 days early. Obviously, things can change in 5 days.
Yes,
but right now, they're calling for about 37 degrees, rain, snow, a mess. Could be a bit of a mess here. And, you know, Mike, when I keep thinking of this, I keep going to that Thursday night game, that Rams-San Fran game, where it's San Fran and it was bad weather, and that Rams offense looked putrid. All right, so does San Fran. This looked bad. So I wonder if that's this. That being said, I wasn't overly thrilled about the Eagles' offense when you watched them over the weekend against Green Bay. They didn't look all that great. The passing game looked lost. Right? What I'm going with is this. I think the Rams cover, Eagles win. And I think it will be a lower slog game. I don't know. I'll be on the. I like the under in this as well. Is where I'm going with that. Although I do worry in bad weather, slick ball, fumbles, and you get stupid returns that blow the overs for us. But I think you're. I'm with you there. I think the Rams keep it close. I think it's a field goal game somewhere around there. But give me the Eagles to win the game.
Yeah, you know, the Rams, you know, they usually play one or two cold weather games in December towards the end of the year. I think this year, didn't they go to New York and it was pretty cold that day and windy against the Jets? I get it. It's the Jets. That's not who they're playing this week. But still, they went out in that in a tough environment weather-wise. And
kind of
were
an ugly
able
game,
to,
if I remember correctly. I didn't feel that well.
Ugly game for a while, and then the Rams kind of leaned on him a little bit in the second half, if I remember. And we're able to take care of business. 19-9.
About that game from the Rams.
Well, maybe not bragging about that game, but when you think of the way that people now, if you remember this, George, in the 80s and 90s, if you told someone that in a playoff weekend in January that there was a West Coast team or a dome team that was going to go play outside, there was absolutely no way in hell that team was going to win the game. Am I wrong about that? That used to be the absolute, no doubt about it, 30, 40 years ago, no chance that team is going to go on the road in mid-January to an East Coast team in the cold, and they were going to win. It happens more now. It doesn't happen all the time, obviously, but it happens now. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think that they can play a blue-collar game outside with some of the guys that they have and some of the experience that they have.
Don't fumble, don't fumble.
Under 44 and a half.
He has to be healthy.
For me.
He did that split last night. That didn't look good. I want to make sure he's healthy as well. If he's banged up, then I'm not going to like this at all.
I agree with you on that. I can eat a healthy Kyron Williams if because the script that I'm talking about means a heavy dose of him playing really good. So you're going to need that. I don't disagree with you there. And, of course, Ravens and Bills on Sunday. Right now, as we sit here early in the week, it's Ravens -1.5 with the 51.5 total. This is your classic divisional round weekend, 6:30, final game of the weekend game. Last year it was Allen and Mahomes. This year it's Allen and Lamar Jackson. These two teams played in week 3. George, and I remember the game. I think I remember sitting here with you, Joe, Pharrell, and everyone that week. Bills were 2-0. Ravens were 0-2. And I said, the Bills are going to get smashed this week. It's coming. It's coming down the pike. The Bills are going to get smashed Sunday night in Baltimore. They were going to Baltimore. Ravens had lost. Didn't the Ravens come up losing to the Raiders? You know, they lost to the Chiefs opening week. They lost to the Raiders the second game. They were 0-2. Desperate as hell, and they destroyed the Bills. Bills also didn't have their three of their best defensive players, Milano, Aaron Johnson, and Terrell Bernard. Three of their best defensive players didn't play that night, and a fourth got hurt in the game. This is going to be a different game, George, than that game that was played that Sunday night in Baltimore. Now, there's one caveat for me here. It is not Lamar Jackson. It is Derrick Henry. He destroys the Bills, whether it was in Tennessee or that Sunday night game where he ripped them for about $1.80. That is where the Bills' focus needs to be on Sunday evening, as far as I'm concerned. Their sole focus.
That may be for both teams. We already said about 10 degrees in Buffalo. Wind doesn't look to be terrible, about 8 miles an hour. But throwing the ball in 10-degree weather, that ball's a rock. It's slick. Obviously, the running game will be paramount here with Derrick Henry and James Cook, for that matter. And probably no Ray Davis in this game, right? In concussion protocol, see if he can get out of it by Sunday. Yeah. Maybe hurts the Bills' depth a little bit here. So, yeah, Henry's the man. If they can't stop Henry, it'll be tough here. But then again, I can also make the argument, well, which defense can stop the other team's rushing quarterback of Jackson versus Allen? That won't be fun for either team either.
See, I don't think that – I think Allen has played in enough of these January ice freezer games where I don't think he's going to have a problem throwing the football. I really don't. I think that he's done it enough. Maybe for Lamar it could be a little bit tough. Marvin Lee, Sports Radio. I'm not going to quit right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. I'll leave you with this, George, for this game. You were just talking about the cold. Now, Josh Allen obviously has a lot more experience playing in this super cold stuff than Lamar has. The coldest game that Lamar Jackson has ever played in was 27 degrees. That's the coldest game that he's ever played in. Now, you already told me, I've seen it too. Like, they're talking like 10 on Sunday night in Buffalo. Like 10 or lower. Coldest game Derrick Henry's played in is 22 degrees. Lamar Jackson is 1-1 when the temperature is below freezing. I'm pretty sure the one loss, now the win was last year, George. That game they played against the Texans in the divisional round, it was under 32 degrees at home, and he had a great game. I believe the loss was the game against the Bills in the divisional round the COVID year when he threw that pick six to Taron Johnson down at the goal line. That was a low-scoring, grinded-out game that the Bills got that big pick six, and that game was in Buffalo on Saturday night. So, you know, take what you want with it, George, but as you said, it is going to be not the typical type of cold. This is, when you're talking 10 degrees and less, that's
cold.
George. That's a factor. Even for a guy like Henry, I think it's a factor. You know, that is cold. That's cold stuff.
I'm not worried about the running back. Sorry, they'll be fine. They'll be warmed up. But for those who don't live in cold weather, 27 degrees is cold. 10 degrees is freaking cold. All right, there's a big. I know it's 17 degrees. All right, but there's
a huge difference.
Yeah, it feels like a 50 degrees difference. It's cold. All right, if you're not used to it, you're going to feel it and feel it in a hurry. All right, it is not fun. The wind is not so bad, 8 miles an hour. So at least it won't feel like it's going through you. They'll all have hand warmers and heated benches and everything else they could possibly do for that. But it's cold here. I think the Bills will acclimate to it better. I do. I think Josh Allen will do better. That being said, you know the receivers. You know, Shakir's not going to be all that thrilled about it. I don't care if he's lived there or not. Coleman, same thing. All of them are not going to like that, especially since they don't touch the ball every play. So it's going to be rough here. It's really going to be rough, and I think that sort of does even things out some. Mike, I'd like to know, Zay Flowers, are you going to play? Is he not going to play? I think that's a huge difference as well here, although not as huge as if they were playing in a normal weather day. It was 30 degrees, 35 degrees, where you could use the passing game more. So if he's out, his loss may not be felt as much as it would have been here. I think it's going to be a great game. Great game. I've already said I think whoever wins this game goes to the Super Bowl. I know Mike doesn't want to talk about that, but that's how I feel here. Listen, I already picked Baltimore versus Philadelphia. That's my Super Bowl pick. So I'll stick with it here. I don't really feel great about it, but that's what I'm going with here. But I think it's going to be an awesome game here. And I think there'll be, I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think there'll be something that decides it. Maybe it's a fumble. Maybe it's a terrible officiating call, you know, and something like that. It's going to be one stupid thing that everyone's going to point to. That's why this team lost here, you know, something like that. I think it's going to be an awesome game. As far as I lean under, you know, and I wouldn't have, if not for the weather, I would have leaned over.
The Bills are 14-2 under Sean McDermott when the temperature is under 32 degrees. That's the best record in the NFL since 1991. 14-2 under 32 degrees. 18 career playoff games in Orchard Park, George. The Bills have never been an underdog in any of those 18 games in Orchard Park. That could change on Sunday as well.
Weird. I'm surprised they're underdogs.
Everybody loves the Ravens. They're the unstoppable force right now. So I guess, it's just funny. You hear some people and it's like, why play the game? And I know it's not everybody, but there are some people who are like, yeah, this is like, you know, the Ravens are going to win this game. Of course they should be favorite. Why wouldn't they be? I think the Lamar Allen MVP dynamic that gets pushed into this has a lot to do with that as well. I think the Bills are going to win.
It's going to be a great game.
And they have to, And I think the Bills can win either type of game, George. I think the Bills can win if it's a grind game. And I think the Bills can win. We've seen it. I mean, you want to play a game like you did in Detroit that day and play in the 40s? I think Allen can go blow for blow. I know the Raven D has played better the last few weeks than they did earlier in the year, but they weren't facing Josh Allen the last few weeks. And I know they beat up Allen in week 3. I've already given you all that. Why not to worry about that? George, tremendous job, as always. I will see you again next week. Great job by Matthias Verbell. Joe's back with me tomorrow. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow on the grid.